So according to the law of attraction, you can attract anything in your life as long as you match it vibrationally. So I'm going to tell you how to do that. So to start, you're just going to set your intention and you're going to say what it is as if you already have it. So let's say you want $1,000. You're going to say, I have $1,000. Then you're going to visualize and think about what you would feel if you already had that $1,000. So you would probably feel happy, abundant, maybe you have more freedom to spend more money. And then start visualizing, like, where would you go shopping? What would you buy? And then just start feeling everything you would feel as if you were using that money. Now, this is the most important part. After that, you need to let it go. Don't worry about it anymore, because if you already had it, you wouldn't be worrying about it. So if you did worry about it, that would put you onto a different vibration of lack and desperation, and then you wouldn't get that $1,000. So as you go about your life after that, just keep doing things that make you feel the same way you did when you were imagining using that money. Do things that make you feel happy, that make you feel abundant, and that make you feel free. And then when you're least expecting it, that's when it'll come to you.
Thank you, Miss Dreamies. That was very delightful to hear. Very edifying for me.
Oh, yeah. I hope you took notes.
I did. Did you guys hear that in the beginning? I was like...
How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Alpha and Omega TV. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's a beautiful morning here in sunny California.
Good morning.
And, well, if you're new to this podcast... We would like to tell you what we do here. We broadcast live and uncut commentary regarding scripture, current events, testimonies, and teaching. We do this all for the glory of the one true God, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, thank you very much. And
today, we'll be talking about manifesting our destiny, your destiny, my destiny. Because we like to
everybody's.
Just we like to manifest things into existence that
everybody's
the
destiny.
Earth may grant us that wish, if you will.
The universe is listening. You just have to put your positive thoughts out into it, and then you gotta thank it.
I like how we reference the universe like kind of godly, like a godly figure, huh?
Well, that's what it is. That's what this belief is about. It's. The universe.
We like to censor God, huh? We like to censor God in a way where it's like, universe, grant this, please, like, or let the universe guide you, or listen to what the universe has to give you. You know, it's like.
That's what it is, and what is another word for that? It's an idol.
Yeah, actually, it is an idol.
That's what it is. It's the modern day golden goat. It's the modern day golden calf, golden goat, golden bull.
That's golden Buddha.
That's what it is today. Literally, right? You go to the Chinese food and there's a golden Buddha. And the tummy's usually like...
We all touch the tummy, don't worry.
it's usually kind of a worn out because everybody's touching it.
So. Yeah, you see, like kind of darker. Less. It's not as shiny as the other parts.
It's not as shiny. All right, well, let's start with the verse of the day so we can get right into this.
Yes, I'll be reading from... Lamentations, not laminated, because I said that previously, but this is Lamentations.
In one of our first runs, he said,
"Oh yeah, it was
Laminations."
My mind was going through work and marketing and doing perforated decals, so it's laminated.
I was manifesting the
job to go through.
Forgive him.
This is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 37 and 38. Here it goes. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass? Unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both adversity and good proceed? Lamentations chapter 3, 37 and 38.
Beautiful. And the verse of the day is there for a reason. So keep that in mind as we go about today's topic, which is, as Brian said, manifesting my destiny. Such a wonderful topic. So we're here to tell you guys that whatever you believe, you can achieve. If you think it, it will be. What you have to do is you have to send out your positive thoughts into the universe. The universe will respond by granting you your every desire. It's so simple, but you have to learn how to do it right. The universe does not respond to negative thoughts. Everything has to be done in a positive connotation. Therefore, you have to send out, if you want a new car, if you want a new wife, if you want a new house, you have to word it correctly.
Oh dear.
You have to say, that house is mine. Thank you, universe, for my house. Thank you, universe, for my wife. Thank you, universe, for that new car.
I'm thinking about it, back in elementary school when we had that little experiment, science experiment, where you kind of put the seed and say good things to it so that it can grow nice and beautiful, rather than having the other seed where it's like slowly growing and I'm honestly it's like malnourished probably. But I've never done that science trick, but I've seen a lot of videos on it where it's like making you believe whatever you do say, that comes true. It does have an effect.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the thought that our words have power, which they do to a certain extent, but not in the way that we're talking about today. So my little segment right now, right before this, about speaking positive things into the universe. This isn't what I believe, just in case you guys didn't catch my what is it called, my satire. Yeah, just in case you guys didn't understand it, okay? This is what the world is believing today. And of course, it comes in a time where this is a godless generation. And we're looking for anything to believe in to make our world a little bit more, quote-unquote, positive. Okay, so in this session, we want to focus on the false notion that because we are created in the image and likeness of God, we too can be co-creators. We too, like God, can speak, declare, or the new word being used today, manifest things into existence. This is false, okay? This is a false notion, and this is something that is so prevalent today, and it's not new. I want you guys to understand this. The idea that we can manifest things, speak things into existence, this is nothing new. This is like the great saying goes, history repeats itself. This is something that is coming from far back, and part of it is New Age origins, which is the belief that we are co-creators with God. We create our own destiny as long as we believe it and we think it. New Age doesn't believe Jesus is God. It believes that he's an ascended being who has achieved it's an ascended type of mind. He's ascended the regular thinking of man.
With his third eye? Is that what you're referring to? You know, they say you gotta open up your third eye in order.
Yeah, it's something similar to that. Yeah, I guess it has something to do with it. You know, but it just means people who have ascended their thought, that they don't think like the average man does.
Oh, okay, like a spiritualist, if you will.
Yes, like okay. We're talking about enlightened people, and I say enlightened, like quote unquote.
Joseph Smith or
Buddha, Confucius, just the great thinkers of the time. They have supposedly received higher knowledge and understanding. And so that's why a lot of people worship these people. But we don't worship Jesus because we think he's an ascended figure. We worship him because he is God. Mm-hmm. So we don't believe that he is the higher power, the higher power, not a higher power. He is the. And because we know that everything was created through him. And he has been always, he doesn't have a beginning. And he has no end. He's the eternal one. So let's look at some scriptures that have popularized this idea. And it's because it's taken out of context. Let me be very clear. These scriptures, there's nothing wrong with them because they're in the Bible and these are truths. But it's when you take them out of context and mess with them that you can really make them mean whatever you want them to mean. So go ahead and read that. The first one that
we have, it's going to be John chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. And it goes like this. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen to that. Yeah, I love this verse.
Yeah,
it kind of gives us the fundamental, the foundation. I mean, on what believers should be doing every day in our lives, so that we can glorify God. to glorify Christ, to glorify that whatever we do, we kind of represent God in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bible does talk about us being ambassadors to Christ, and that's representatives of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. But like this verse says, and like Brian is saying, the focus is to bring glory to God, not to oneself, but to God.
I can see where people can take this out of context too, because right when, I guess you can say right when the story changes, when Jesus, when he says he's going to the Father, and I'm going to give you my attributes in a way, so that you can, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you, so that God the Father will be glorified. Mm-hmm. So it's like me like saying, hey, you know what, I'm gonna die soon, I'm gonna leave you everything in my will, just make sure you ask, and whatever you ask, just keep it, you know. another way of saying it.
Yeah, so it's like saying, okay, well, as long as you say in my name, I'm gonna do it, so that people can know, like, oh yeah, Jesus does miracles, like Jesus works wonders. But that's not so in this case, and it's not about anything. We got to look at first who it's talking to. Who is the intended audience? And that's whoever believes in me. So that's believers. We're not talking about non-believers. We're not talking about people who believe in mysticism or people who acknowledge Jesus as an authority figure in spirituality. No, we're talking about children of God who've been adopted through the spirit of adoption and now have the ability to call Abba Father, you know, to call God their Father. So we're talking about these people. So if you're not in that category, this doesn't even apply to you. You can't even use the name of Jesus to ask for things. Of course, we know, and of course, we always spread the gospel on this channel. So I want to make sure that I'm very clear that anyone who comes to the Father in the name of Jesus can be saved when they repent of their sins and they trust in Christ. They turn their lives around, and the Lord enables you to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that you can't come to Jesus. I'm saying right now where you stand, you can't ask for things in the name of Jesus that you want. You can approach him and ask him to forgive you, and he will. But you can't just ask for things in the name of Jesus and not even be his child. Mm-hmm. So number one, that gets rid of a ton of people. Okay. And then number two, this is not even the context of this passage. So you have to understand that we have to know that the whole Bible is true and the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So if you read your Bible, you understand that when you are in Christ, you do not pray according to your own will. You don't pray for things that you just want out of nowhere. But everything that you do and say, for the most part, has to align with who God is and his essence and his will. So you're not going to pray for things out of nowhere. Like, you're not going to pray, hey, God, like that my girlfriend would let me go to the next base with her. You know, like, oh, you know, things like that, you know, things that are sinful. You're not going to ask for those things to Jesus. You're to God. You're not going to do that because, one, that doesn't align with his will. You know, that doesn't align with his will. That's sin. And God does not lead us to sin. Okay. So it's not, you're not going to ask for, oh God, I want that new Rolls Royce, you know, so people could see me. That wouldn't be his will, because God doesn't call us to show off, but he calls us to humility. He calls us to things that glorify him, not that bring glory to yourself. So that would be out of the question. And the thing with this is that you guys might think that these examples are crazy, but these are the kinds of things that people pray for. Like, or it's funny. One time, I'm not going to, I got to be very careful with what I'm saying. it's like one time my cousin,
are you trying to think of like, trying to not mention it?
How to say it. Yeah. Okay, my cousin was doing something he shouldn't be doing, and he told one of his friends to pray for him about it, right? And his friend was like, why would I pray for that? He's like, that's like the drug dealer who's going to smuggle drugs into the U.S. praying that they don't catch him. You know, these prayers, some people pray for these things, or protection for, even though they're sinning, protection from that, you know, protection from the repercussions. And so, of course, these things are not according to the will of God, but people pray for these things for their own protection. You know, you don't want to get caught. You don't want to deal with the consequences. So.
Or even driving it with a suspended license or something. And
yes,
be like,
driving with a suspended license.
Don't let the police catch me today. Get me there back in fine.
Perfect example. Perfect. Driving with a suspended license, driving without a license, you know.
That was me.
Not having documentation and praying not to get deported, etc. You know, I understand people have their reasons to pray for these things, and sometimes, you know, they need to get to work, etc. But the reality is, obviously, these things are wrong and they're breaking the law. So to pray for against these things is like, well, you're already breaking the law, so it's nullified. So, yeah, that's a great example.
I did it too because
I think we've all done it.
I was excited to drive, so I was like, I did without getting my license first. I'm like, all right, going to school or going to the store real quick.
God, please don't let me get caught.
And you're even being more safe and everything. You're putting you on your seatbelt.
And then you see a cop and you're like, oh Lord, please.
10-2, 10-2. Keeping your hands around.
It's like, God, please don't let him see me. God, if he doesn't see me, this is the last time I'm going to drive, but please forgive me, God. So different things like that. So this is one of the scriptures that's used and says like, oh, whatever you ask for in Jesus' name, it will be done if you have the faith, which moves on to the next scripture. But first, so some preachers have taken this passage and lied to people, promising that because of what is written, God will answer and fulfill their wildest dreams. They will have that new car they want. They will get the job of their dreams. They will buy their dream home. They will be healed. And let me touch on this healing part because this is a big one, right? A lot of people want to pray for people and just pray for them to be healed. And there was recently a case of a famous worshiper in the Christian circles. He's a Spanish singer or Spanish worshiper. And they had a service to kind of honor his life. It was a tribute to his life. And I think he had terminal cancer, and so we had a lot of quote-unquote prophets come to him and start declaring healing and declaring this and declaring that, and lots of people were just, you know, obviously everybody wishes the best, right? Everybody hopes that they would be healed, and there's nothing wrong with hoping that and praying for people to be healed. There's nothing wrong with that, for people to have quick recoveries, for people to be healed, etc., for praying for someone who's going to surgery. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. We should be doing that. But it's when we're declaring something to be done without knowing what God's plan is. And so you had all these people just praying over him and declaring this, declaring that. But there was one person who went up and said, you know what? Yes, sickness isn't always the best thing. And obviously it's not. It's not a good thing. But he explained to him, he shared the story of Paul and how Paul had a thorn in his flesh and how Paul would ask the Lord to remove it, but the Lord would say, no, my grace is sufficient. And he told him, maybe this is the thorn in your flesh and maybe you might not be healed, but God has a plan in all of this. So he was the only preacher, and everyone was kind of like in a frenzy of, yeah, he's going to be healed. Like, yeah, we're going to declare this. Yeah, he's going to be better. Then came that one preacher who was the most biblical.
Kind of shutting everyone out. Like, yeah. Hold up, guys, let's be reminded real quick.
Yeah, he was the most biblical and told him, this might be the thorn in your flesh. It's like, but that's okay because you know that God holds your life. He sustains you. And when he calls you, then you will be called into his glory. And that was, I think that's way more comforting than being declared that you'll be healed and nothing happens. So to sum it up, he dies, right? This famous worshiper, he actually died. I mean, we believe that he went with the Lord. But the only person who spoke the truth was that man who said, hey, you know, we hope you get better. But if you don't, you already know where you're going. You know that there's a greater glory waiting for you. And that you might have to endure this for a while, and that God might not take this away like he didn't take away the thorn in the flesh of Paul. But there is a purpose through it. There is a purpose for this.
That's comforting.
And that's a beautiful thing. That's when you understand that sicknesses and difficulty in life they have a purpose, and God uses these things to bring us closer to Him and to bring us to a greater understanding of Him. Because when do you seek God the most? Do you seek Him when everything is going great, or do you seek Him when things are going pretty bad?
Well, as a believer now,
in a general sense,
as a believer now, I do both. Like, where you thank God for the good things and the bad things. But before, you kind of go to God when you're in desperate need.
Of course. Of course.
As a matter of fact, we were just talking about this before the podcast, how one of our friends went out and he was doing a missionary trip, if you will, or trying to share the gospel. And where did he go? What country did he go? He went to
India.
And he's gonna be an awesome guest when he comes.
Yeah.
Anyways, he went to India and he's there to share the gospel, the good news. And people, how you're mentioning,
he would pray for people. I think they were also like doing a clinical fair or something where they're doing checkups and all that stuff.
Yeah, and these people looked up to these people, like to our friend and to to the organization and group that he was with. You said that they saw them as gods.
Yeah, they did. He shares that they were bringing like gifts and they were throwing things at their feet and they were like even bowing down. And my buddy was like, you know, no, like, don't worship us, you know, worship Christ. We're here to share with you about Christ. And that's because people have a desperate need for this. And I'm glad that you bring that up, because also in that context, there's third world countries where a lot of these guys who have this type of theology of decreeing and declaring, they go to third world countries and they spread this stuff, right? They tell people that they can just declare their problems away, declare that they're, you know, going to have a meal to eat tomorrow. And then what happens when that isn't so? What happens when they don't get a meal the next day? Or what happens when they declared that, you know, next year they're going to be well off and they're not going to be in poverty? What usually happens when you promise someone something and it doesn't come true? People don't believe anymore. And so instead, you're becoming a stumbling block to the kingdom of God because you're saying Jesus' name, right? But these people don't represent Jesus. But in foreign countries and third world countries, they're going to go away with, well, this guy who told me about Jesus said this would happen, but it didn't. So that's a hard pill to swallow. That's difficult. And unfortunately, the United States is pumping out that garbage into these third world countries. And these third world countries, they might believe it at first, but then they realize that isn't the case.
Yeah.
So this can happen if they pray in Jesus' name and declare or decree these things for the healing. They will happen if they can be positive and manifest these things. Basically, going back to that point, that these are the beliefs that these things will happen just if they pray in the name of Jesus and if they're positive and if they believe enough. And then another verse, if you would, Brian, Mark 11, 23 to 24.
Yeah, it goes like this. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. And therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Mark 11, 23 and 24.
The famous tell this mountain to move and it will move scripture, right?
Yeah.
It's one people use for declaring and decreeing things. And usually when you use it, a lot of the people, because again, we lived a lot of this stuff and that's why we share these things. A lot of the times the mountain represents things like financial scarcity, problems at the house, lack of faith, doubt in oneself.
This verse was brought up a lot, actually, in our past church, where it's like, you got to have faith.
Yep.
Put in your faith. If you don't have enough faith, it's not going to happen. So you got to be praying hard and fasting and meditate in it all the way. Like, you got to go hard into that belief.
And even, I think there's another in one of the other gospels that says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, right? The faith as small as a mustard seed. You can tell this mountain to move and it will move. And so the point is, if you have enough faith, it will happen. So now it's not that Jesus is going to do it because he promises. Now it's You have to have enough faith. And if you don't, it's not going to happen. Just like when a lot of people back in the day in our circle, previous circle, they would pray for certain people and maybe these people wouldn't get healed. The explanation was, well, you didn't have faith, or there's sin in your life, or it's not time yet. You know, it's one of those things. You didn't have enough faith. It's not your time yet, or there's sin in your life. These are why you wouldn't be healed. It was never, well, God has a purpose for this time of your life.
Kind of makes you question everything again.
Yeah, it does. And it's when you understand the concept of God is sovereign in your life, when you understand that he holds your life together, then it's not easy for things to shake you up, even your current condition, where you might, you know, break your leg and the doctor tells you you will never walk again. At first, it's going to shock you because maybe you've walked your whole life and to not walk is something that's unbearable to you. But maybe God might have a purpose for that time. And it might be just a time and he might heal you, or you may never walk again. You don't know. But it's, you know that your life is in him. And so you say, okay, well, God, there's going to be a purpose for this. And I believe that you're going to work this out for my own good.
Yeah.
So you accept your current situation. Not saying that, you know, you shouldn't go through physical therapy and try to walk. No, I'm not saying that. But you trust in God that your life doesn't stop there. You know, that God has you right where you need to be. And if it was a consequence of a dumb mistake, then you obviously humble yourself and you understand that you shouldn't have done whatever you were doing. But then you go back and you say, but I trust you, Lord, that you're going to use this for your glory, not for your own glory, for his glory. Yes. And that's the difference of declaring things and accepting things as they are and understanding that God has everything under control. So verse 24 is the one that's easier to misinterpret and manipulate without context, because people might think that you can pray for anything and make sure that it's going to be done. Because after all, that's what the verse says, right? It says, therefore, I say to you, all these things which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them and they will be granted to you. Kind of like that girl in the beginning, right? In the soundbite. Believe it, forget about it, and when you least expect it, it's going to come.
Yeah.
That's what she says. So, just a little bit of background. This kind of idea of a positive thinking manifesting, it's
so
not
dangerous.
New.
It's so dangerous.
Yeah, it's like damaging. That. It's very damaging.
And confusing to so many people that are they're beginning their walk in their faith. It can really confuse somebody.
Yeah, it can confuse them. And like I said before, it's putting the blame not on yourself and not confronting yourself, but confronting everything around you. So you'll never admit that you're the one that's wrong for your sin. It's everybody around you, and everybody has to change in order for you to be comfortable.
Kind of controlling.
Yeah, it is. It's manipulative too. So this isn't anything new, guys. Like we said, we talked a little bit about how it came out of New Age, and probably New Age adopted it from somewhere even further back. But one of the ways that this was made popular was by this book called The Secret. This book was released in 2006, and by 2009, it had already grossed $300 million in book sales. And Oprah Winfrey, of course, was one of the biggest supporters, so she pushed it even harder, especially when she went on the Larry King show and talked about it. And she even mentioned that this was something that she always was trying to teach her fans, right? The it's called The Law of Attraction, but a lot of people just say The Secret because the book made it so popular. So what is The Secret? The Secret is a book about the law of attraction. In a nutshell, you send positive thoughts or requests of things you want into the universe, and the universe responds by granting you a wish, like a genie in a bottle. So it's like it's you project these things to the universe, you thank the universe, and then the universe responds by giving you that. And there's a ridiculous example, because there's also a movie about this.
No way.
There's a ridiculous example. I always remember that this guy is talking about how you can attract even a parking space to be available at your job.
Oh my god!
And if you just think it, it's like you have to leave home knowing and thanking the universe that your parking spot is open, that you're gonna get there. of course, he's talking about because it's a crowded place, right? And he's saying your parking spot's going to be right there in front of the door, right where you want it. It's going to be easy. Just get in there, park, go out and go into your office, and it's going to be great. So there's that. And then there's this other guy. There's just another example in the movie as well, where this guy is imagining his dream car, and he's sitting in his living room, and he sits down and he pretends that he's in a car, and he's shifting the gears and he's feeling the wind in his hair. And so he's pretending that he already has it. He's manifesting it, right?
Right.
And so these are the things that come from this idea. And of course, people claim that it's true. I mean, I fell into this early on before I was even a Christian, of just being positive and attracting positive things. And when you're in this mindset, you believe that it is true, that the universe is responding. But I mean, there's no basis to it. There's no actual proof that this is true. And obviously it's just an idea. So this idea has become popular. And the problem is not that it's an idea. The problem isn't that this exists. The problem is that it's come into the Christian circles, and Christians have adopted it as part of their prayer doctrine.
It's crazy because all this, of course, is rooted from a long time ago, and it's also rooted from being selfish, prideful, and wanting things in control, because that's in human nature. We want things in our control.
That's the fallen human nature.
And it brings out the worst in us as well, the worst in us as well. And none of this glorifies God in any way. And
who would it glorify if everything you ask for is coming to pass? Who does it glorify ultimately?
If it doesn't come to pass?
No, when it comes to pass, if it does come to pass, who does it glorify ultimately?
It should glorify God.
But who does it glorify when it's all your desires?
No, absolutely not. It glorifies us.
Yeah, because we get everything we want.
Right, which is the opposite of what a believer is. And a good example of who this is would be John. I mentioned this before in our last recording when I gotta mention it because it's always gonna be stuck in my head, and this is gonna be documented, of course, and we're always gonna listen back on it. And we had this is our third recording, and we're like, why is there?
You had to say the third recording.
I know. Yeah, because our audio was like, why is this not recording that like we want? It was not plugged into our computer.
Yeah. Anyways. Noob mistake, and that was unfortunately me. I admit it.
And
anyways,
going back, I mentioned this in our last recording that in John, I said chapter 1, but it's actually chapter 3. John's a good example of how we should glorify God. And everything that we do as a believer is to glorify God. And you mentioned it as well. We're ambassadors of Christ, meaning whatever we do, how we live by, it should glorify God. It should glorify who he is, and we should reflect.
Because real quick, an ambassador is a representative of a nation.
Right.
And in this case, we're representing the kingdom of God. So everything that we do should bring glory to our nation, which in this case is the kingdom of God, which ultimately is who it's part of God, because he is the ruler, the king of kings.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
So go ahead.
We're ambassadors of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And how I was saying that John was a beautiful reflection, because he said that he's not the light, because in the book of John, everyone was looking at John because he was baptizing people in water for repentance. And everyone was looking up to John. John was gathering a huge audience. And he was baptizing in Christ's name, that they're being washed, their sins are being washed away. And while he was gaining all this traction, he's like, hey guys, again, let me repeat this as many times as I can. I'm not God, I'm not Christ, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm just a reflection of the light. I'm not the light, he's the light, and I do it for his glory. And even his disciples were, when they saw Christ coming, although John baptized people in water, Jesus was baptizing in the Spirit. And his disciples were telling John, Jesus is baptizing people in the Spirit. And John's like, hey, don't tell me that he's gaining more people, Jesus. He's like, don't tell me to do something about it, because he is the God. He's like, he's the one that's supposed to be glorified. He's like, he says this very beautiful verse, beautiful what he says. He says,
he must increase.
Yeah, he must increase.
But I must decrease.
And I must decrease. That's the beautiful thing about what a believer should be.
Yeah, that's true. John was a great example because he knew that he was just the one who, he was just the voice crying out in the wilderness to make way for the Lord.
Yeah.
He understood that that's all his purpose was.
He understood what? The assignment?
He understood the assignment. Like that ridiculous song. Anyway, so he understood that he was just a vessel, a voice crying out in the wilderness, a wild man who was making way for the Lord. That's why when Jesus was coming from afar, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who removes the sin of the world, who takes away the sin of the world." And when he had the conversation with his disciples too, like you were mentioning, he says, "The one who comes after me, I am unworthy to untie his sandals. I am unworthy to remove the lowest part of him," which obviously back in the day, people would walk around in sandals and there was a lot of sand. So it's the dirtiest part of your body. And John goes and says, even the lowest part of him is higher than me, is much, much higher. And I'm not even worthy to remove his sandals, because John understood that this was God. This was him, God in the flesh coming. And he was the one whom he was making way for. And so he knew he never tried to bring glory to himself. He never wanted to be greater than Jesus, which a lot of, you know, these false teachers nowadays, they want to be greater than God and they want to, you know, achieve all kinds of things here on earth before they leave, because they don't have what John had. They don't have the humility and they don't have the understanding of who God is. And that's the sad part. So some churches think this kind of thing pleases God because we're, quote unquote, exercising our faith. But one would argue that shouting commands at the creator of the universe is a definite no. Right? So I do want to end strong on this point to say, who are we to think that we can shout commands or declare for God to do something? Like if he was a genie in a bottle, like if he was this thing people call the universe, which in the law of attraction, you pretty much pick your own God and you can name it a different name instead of universe. But who are we to think that the all-powerful one, the one who wasn't created, the one who's always been, who are we to think that we can shout commands and have him do these things just because we feel like it? That I would argue is an irreverence against him. That's not revering him. That's not fearing him. That's us being equal to him, if not a little higher, because we can command him to do things. So if you're the kind of person who likes to manifest and declare things and stuff like that, I would just kindly ask you, do you think that this shows reverence to God? It's like, oh, well, I'm just doing what he says. If I ask for it in his name, I'm asking for it. And by declaring and decreeing, you're not. And I would also challenge you to go into the Old Testament and look how some of these men prayed. And a lot of these men, especially David, he would pray, "Lord, if it would please you." They would all address the Lord in great reverence. And they would ask him, "If it would please you." I mean, even Jesus being God, speaking to the Father. And of course, we know that Jesus humbled himself before the Father, not because he was less than the Father, but because in this case he was teaching us. He would even say, "Lord, if it is your will, take this cup from me. If it is your will." So even the prayer of God himself teaching us, right? It wasn't, "Oh, I declare that this is going to happen. I decree that this is going to happen. In Jesus' name, this is going to happen." No, it wasn't that kind of prayer. So I just urge you, if you believe this, read your Bible again and specifically go through all the prayers that the different prophets, that the different leaders prayed, and the ones that Jesus prayed, and see the form that he's praying in. Because right there, you're quickly going to be confronted and you're going to be like, "Man, I have been irreverent to God." And this is something I had to come to grips with, because I used to pray like that. So that's why I'm sharing this with you guys, because to pray like this, it It almost means you don't even know who he is. You don't understand the magnitude of who you are talking to. You're talking to the creator of the world. So, Brian, if you could read Psalms chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. And we do not possess this incommunicable, which means non-transferable trait of God, of Creator. We don't have the power to speak anything into existence. We don't have the power to control things around us. This is a fallen world, and it's meant to teach us hard lessons. Yeah. The lessons we learn, we can grow in faith and understanding, and the one who sustains is Jesus Christ. So, guys, these things have a purpose. And for us to think we can change the world around us for our benefit, I'm not saying you can't make an impact on the world around you. You can, and people have. But I'm saying you can't change the world around you to make it comfortable so you won't have to suffer anything. No, these things are meant to teach you something. And if your faith and trust is in Christ, then the outside world, you'll understand that all these things are going to benefit you in one way or the other, because God promises that he's going to work these things for all those who believe and trust in him. So if you can go ahead and read Psalms chapter 8, verse 1 through 9. We're going to wrap up with that.
It says this: O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens? From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have established strength because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That was the ESV version, by the way, English Standard Version. So that may be confusing to some, but...
No, it's clear. I mean, it's very clear. This is, again, one of David's prayers to God. And you notice how he begins, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Right away, David starts his prayer by worshiping him, right? Praising his name. And then speaking of his greatness and the glories that he has done. But I want you to pay special attention to verse 4. What is man that you take thought of him? And the son of man that you care for him? So it's like, who are we that you would even think about us? This is what I want to leave you guys with. Who are we as man, and by man I mean humans, that God would even take the time to think about us? That's the kind of humble attitude we should have when we go before him. Like, God, I shouldn't even be listened to by you, but here I am before you because of Christ, because I can come to you if I'm in Christ. So my friends, for those of you guys who are listening and don't know the Lord, I always like to share that there is hope in Christ and there is salvation under Jesus. That you can come to the Lord, ask him to forgive your sins, all those things that you know that you do that are wrong. And you don't do this to earn salvation. You do this because you understand that you are a fallen human being, that there's so much wrong with you. But the Lord promises that if you come to him, repent of that lifestyle, and you turn to him and follow him, that he will save you. And it's not the act of you doing this, but God's mercy on this right now. You're hearing the gospel and God is calling you to repentance, and you can respond and say, Lord, I am the man that they're talking about. I am the person who is falling short every day, but I need you. I need your help. I need you to forgive my sins, and I want to follow you. Just ask the Lord to forgive you right now while you're still alive. The Lord promises that anyone who comes to him with a contrite heart will be forgiven. And join a good church, read your Bible, get to know God, and the Lord will do a salvific work in your life. There is hope for anyone who hears the message and responds. So we want to encourage you, seek Christ while he can be found. There is hope in him. There is love and joys and riches, not worldly riches, but riches that are heavenly, that are in Christ. So give your life to him. It's the only way under man can be saved. There is no other God. It's him. So we thank you guys. If you made it this far, thank you so much for joining us in this. We hope that today's topic was helpful and edifying to each one of you guys. And if you have any questions, as always, please feel free to reach out to us. We will be more than glad to expand on anything that you might have questions about. So thank you guys. This has been Franco and Brian.
Yes.
Signing out for today. Thank you so much. Over and out.